commissioners serving on it. What that particular provision is to have this antitrust exemption also apply to these carriers who are going to be sitting on this particular pool talking about the business of setting rates. That's what the business of insurance is about. And what this is nothing more than to give them that protection so that when the carriers come in and they talk about what the rate for the pool should be, that someone doesn't jump up and say that you're in violation of the antitrust provisions because of the fact that you have talked about the establishment of rates. And that's the purpose of it. And those statutes on antitrust carry both civil and criminal liability.
What does the any other action now? I'm trying to avoid our being a judiciary committee, but what's the effect of those words?
The problem, one of the issues.
I can understand
is,
participation in the pool, et cetera, but any other action?
There is an amendment that, if you will look on the amendments that I. Let me see if I can provide. If you'll look on the amendments that I gave you on the Dash 12 amendments, the amendment that is being inserted in the bill on lines 17 and 22, it says the board may determine the total number of persons who may be enrolled for coverage by the pool at any time and may permit and prohibit enrollment in order to maintain the number authorized. Nothing in this paragraph authorizes the board to prohibit enrollment for any reason other than to control the number of persons in the pool. For any other reasons, obviously, that if someone's going to be told that they're not able to get into the pool because of the numbers, we recognize that somebody may very well object to that. And it could be because of sex or any number of other reasons that they may believe that, in fact, that they were excluded, when, in fact, that the sole reason was is just because of the numbers. And that's to include that particular incident.
Okay, Representative Hanlon, did you have any concern or comments as a member of the Judiciary Committee on that Section 9?
No, Mr. Chair, I understand the intent, and I think I don't have anything to add.
Okay, we have a couple other people who wanted to appear before the committee on Senate Bill 583. Why don't we hear from them, and then we'll go into work session, we'll adopt your amendments or...
Can I propose the other amendment? It's the Dash 11 amendments.
Okay.
And all of that is that on page 4 of the bill, line 13, it says that a person is not eligible for coverage under the pool if the person is an inmate or a patient in a public institution. The intent was to disqualify people who are in the correctional institutions or in the mental institutions in the state, and what it Dash 11 amendments is direction to the statute that defines those, because there are a number of other public institutions in the state where one may be a patient, which have nothing to do with criminal conduct or a mental capacity.
You mean like being a patient or an inmate in the Oregon State Legislature?
Or at some county hospital.
Okay. Well, what I'd like to do is just get the public hearing over with, then we'll talk about the amendments, if you don't mind,
okay.
So that expedite matters here. Representative McCarty?
I just want to ask one question. I want to know what the result. If someone comes to work as a new employee and he tests positive with HIV, will he be given an opportunity to go into the risk pool?
This would be a vehicle for that individual to obtain insurance, medical insurance.
After he's contacted it, is this a method of paying for his problem?
This isn't life insurance, it's medical insurance.
Medical insurance. But the moment, I want to tell you, the moment I found that I had an ELISA test positive, if I were out there and that, I would run and get into this as fast as I could to pay for it.
That's probably why they're going to pay 150% of standard premium.
There's a difference between prevention and curing. You know, after a person comes down with a disease, then you're going to insure them? That's not the term insurance, I don't think. This is a method of paying for it, to insure against something coming down with it.
No, that I don't disagree with you. I think you're absolutely
This is going to be catastrophic cost, and you intend to pay for it out of 150%?
That's why we said that you are going to have to revisit the issue in the future as this
well,
funding mechanism.
Does have a sunset on the bill.
I don't understand.
It does.
I will gladly support this, but not as a method of paying for somebody who's already got the disease from that.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad.
Mr. Chair.
I don't think this is a wise
policy at all. I think we're in the heading of debate on the bill here,
Representative
Hanlon. What I want to do is have a public hearing.
I agree.
Hear from people, then we'll debate the bill, if you don't mind. We have Mr. Houck from the American Diabetes Association, who's been waiting patiently ever these many days to address this committee on this bill. So, Mr. Houck.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name's Dave Houck, and I do represent the American Diabetes Association on behalf of this bill. Just briefly, I wanted you to know that the American Heart Association and American Cancer and Multiple Sclerosis and Cystic Fibrosis and all of these associations have, hopefully you have letters from them, that they also support this bill. Obviously, these are the people that once a week get calls from just general ordinary citizens who can't find health insurance and are asking these people how they go about obtaining it. Obviously, the answer is we can't help you. So these are the people that are involved with these problems every day, and they're the ones that have no answer, and this is the answer that they wish to have, and that's all I have to say.
Is it still good if we took out the or if we adopted the amendments as discussed with Mr. Kulongoski and Ms. Yaden?
Yes, it is, and I believe that, like Ted said, in 2 years it's going to have to be brought up again, but there is a start. There are 13 states that have it now. This is basically the same. Some of them have general funding. Some of them have insurance and general funding, but essentially, yes, we do support it.
Senator Hugo?
For the record, let me ask you a question. This program is designed for those people who cannot otherwise obtain insurance from the normal avenues of insurance carriers.
That's correct? Absolutely correct.
And it's not meant in any way to compete with the normal insurance industry as we know it.
No. These are people who, for one reason or another, 90% of them had insurance before. They lost it for one reason or another. The husband passed away and the wife no longer has insurance. She's diabetic or a heart problem and cannot obtain health insurance. But it's not competing with anybody. Nobody really wants them. And I think it's a duty, or everybody deserves health insurance. 20 years ago, no. But today, you got to have it, or you're going to be picking them up as indigents.
I think that's the final point, well, probably the most important point in the whole bill. We're going to pay one way or another.
That's right.
Okay. Mr. Bishop?
Thank you,
Mr. Howe.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Bruce Bishop, representing Kaiser Permanente, and I will be very brief. In previous hearings on this measure, we have opposed Senate Bill 583. We have had substantive objections to the way the system has been structured, particularly its inability to include self-insured employers in the pool. But the amendments that you have before you, the -12 amendments, eliminate those problems because the entire costs of the pool would be borne by those individuals who are purchasing insurance from the pool. And so there would not be losses that would be apportioned over and above the 150% of premiums that were contributed by the individuals. So the amendments take care of the objections that we had to the bill. I have not seen the Dash 10 amendments, I believe, that were referred to by Commissioner Kulongoski.
Dash 11 was Dash what 11. He was talking about. It simply insert a statutory reference to what the institutions were that...
I believe that may already be included in the Dash 12 in lines 12 and 13, but I'm not sure.
Mr. Chairman, it is their substitute.
A different reference.
Oh, okay.
And they're functionally
equivalent. Okay, so we don't need Dash 11 if we did Dash 12. Okay, is there anybody else who wants this?
The only other question I wanted to bring to your attention is that it would, the amendments would allow the board that administers the pool to design the policy in such a way that existing state mandates would not be required to be included under that kind of insurance. So there would be a waiver of the existing state mandates if the board felt that it was that was appropriate under the circumstances. And that would be one of the techniques that the board could use in making the policy as affordable as possible.
Any questions for Mr. Bishop? Representative Schoon?
Just a little comment. If we find out that works, maybe we could apply it to the private.
It would be a possibility.
I see. Yes. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Mr. Crawford, did you indicate you wanted to testify also?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Hank Crawford, and I represent Blue Cross and Blue Shield. I think that Bruce has very effectively given you a historical position that we also had in opposition to the original bill. I just reiterate that the only thing that we opposed about it was the fact that the pool had been limited to and was unable to take into account the self-insureds, which are a very growing number of people within the state. We had no objection to the pooling concept itself. In fact, recognize its benefit both to our industry and society as a whole. With the amendments that are before you, I do have two comments that I feel that I must make to you so that there not be any misunderstanding. And again, we're not opposing it in any way. I suggest to you that you could strengthen this piece of legislation that you're about to pass if you remove the 150% and let that be at the discretion of the insurance commissioner. I say that simply because our data indicates to us that 150% is not likely to be enough. Again, depending on, as Representative McCarty has brought up, the kind of people that immediately get into that pool. That's an unknown, it's a guess. I think we all want it to be 150%, but I would like to see it so that if it isn't going to work, and Mr. Kulongoski had the ability to assess that along with the insurers and the board that's going to be appointed, that he could say, fine, let's go to 165% or whatever you need to try to make it work. But that's my comment of letting you know that we're not at all sure 150% would be high enough under these particular circumstances. My last comment is that the...
On that point, Mr. Crawford, on page 6 of the bill, Terry shows me here on line 19 that the bill actually reads, they say, initial rates for pool coverage shall not be more than 150%. And then the next sentence says, all rates and rate schedules shall be submitted annually. Can that be interpreted to mean, maybe Mr. Kulongoski can also respond, that your concern may be met at some further point in the future if 150 was not found to be sufficient?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I apologize for even bringing it up under those circumstances, but I haven't seen the amendments at all that are before you. They've only been given to me conceptually in the hall, but that's fine. I wanted to make that comment, and I think it's important that you recognize what the limitations of this measure may be. The last comment that I would make are regarding amendments before you, where it talks about the assessment for the expenses limited to $150,000 of the board. I've made a quick run around the lobby, as others have done, and I made a discovery that may be very helpful to us, at least emotionally, in this business, and that is that probably if it were voluntary, we have a number of self-insured, some very large ones in the state, who would probably participate in this funding of this board. And I'm wondering if conceptually you might look at language that would allow that board to try to get those requests. This language simply says assessed from members of the pool. By federal law, the self-insured will not be a portion of the pool. However, if you just had permissive language to go out and receive some some financial help from those people, I think we would be able to broaden that $150,000. It's not a big enough item for me to ask you to oppose the bill in any manner. It's simply a suggestion to you that there are some big groups out there who would probably participate in this initial funding so that we can make some discoveries about this concept.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I can assure Mr. Crawford that if the bill stays the way it is, that I will do everything in my power to have the board solicit the self-insured to contribute voluntarily, which will probably reduce the need for the assessment to anyone else.
Representative Hugo?
Question for the staff. In the bill or in the amendments, is the board empowered to receive gifts or
there's no specific language.
Is there anything to prohibit them?
Wouldn't see any reason it would be prohibited.
Okay, is there anybody else who wants to testify? I'm going to close the public hearing now then and open the work session. You can stay there if you like, because the first item business chair will move the Dash 12 amendments so we have something before us to discuss. Having moved Dash 12, Terry, are we, if these are adopted, do we need Dash 11?
Yes. Just quickly, I point out on the Dash 12 amendments on the first page, lines 12 and 13, is the reference to 179, 610, and 421005. Those are separate references to the mental health facilities and the corrections institutions. ORS 179, 321, which is in the Dash 11 amendments, is probably a technically cleaner way to do it because 179.321 refers to both of those two categories. So for purposes of simplicity and clarity, you might want to just substitute in, the two lines in the Dash 11s into the Dash 12s. They are functionally equivalent, however you wish to do it.
How about if we just, would this work on line 13 of the Dash 12, it should read 179.321.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Probably. That's the motion that the chair made. As on line 13, the ORS is 179321.
And delete both.
Right, both the other two numbers. Yes. Okay, further discussion on the amendments. Believe that, you know, this bill was discussed earlier when we had some general discussions of tax expenditures, and it was determined at that time that the tax expenditure, while being relatively minor in the near term, could grow exponentially, and there was not a willingness on the leadership's part or my part or the governor's part at that point to have an open-ended thing. Having these amendments, I think, gives the pool an opportunity to get started, see what happens to it, and also requires us to come back and review its experience without being a drain on the state treasury or the other people who are involved in the insurance business. And I think at this point, I'm prepared to go ahead if these amendments are adopted. Representative McCarty?
Mr. Chairman, I'm willing to support this. If you take out one and a quarter line here on the amendments, on line 20, 21, and 22, it says, nothing in this paragraph authorizes the board to prohibit enrollment for any reason other than to control the number of persons in the pool. Take out that and I'll go with it. If you want to limit the board and say, this is what you shall do and what you shan't, you know, maybe you'll run into a fiscal problem that you will never be able to match. And with that in, with that language in there, I will support it.
Representative Hugo?
Well, I could either speak this or Ted could, but line 17 through lines 20, the ones you see that, allow the board to restrict enrollment. However, the language you're talking about says that enrollment restriction may not be based on anything other than the actuarial needs to restrict enrollment. It cannot restrict on age, sex, creed, anything else.
Or type of, I think, type of health problem is what Representative
if
McCarty wants.
If what you say
is
true, then you're willing to take out, then line, nothing in this paragraph shall authorize the board to prohibit enrollment. Then you're willing to take out, if that's true, then what you just said.
I think the effect, as Representative Hugo is trying to explain it, is if we eliminated those lines, then the pool could say, well, I don't like women. Keep women out. Or they could say, I don't like
No, you can't discriminate by women. Everybody knows that.
Mr. Chairman.
By sex. Sex age.
Representative Hugo.
Mr. Chair, what this bill is allowing is discrimination. The bill is authorizing discrimination. It's allowing a public body to not accept membership under certain conditions. The conditions are extremely well drawn, and those conditions are to limit the number of persons enrolled so that they don't bankrupt the thing. That's the only reason, though, we're allowing discrimination. If you take the line out you want, you can discriminate or discriminate for any reason. I don't think that's exactly what you want to do.
Only they can discriminate only under the law.
Well,
Mr. Kulandowski, do you have any response to this?
I think Representative Hugo is expressing anything I would say.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Jones.
I have a question in relationship to the bill and the process that it has already gone through before it has come to us, and maybe someone can enlighten. I don't have that information in front of me. Has this been through Human Resources on the House side as well as the Senate? So I'm not sure where it's been up to now.
Representative Hanlon?
It's my understanding that it went through Revenue and Human Resources on the Senate side, and when it got here, came directly here because Human Resources was closed.
Also, it's gone under intense scrutiny at the leadership levels of all the chambers and the governor's office. Representative Jones?
Some of us aren't there, so that's one of the reasons why we're asking questions.
Next time, make sure that they invite us.
It's not necessary.
You don't want to be there,
President
McCarty, I'll tell you.
The other question I had was the response on the Senate side, what the vote was on the Senate side, if staff can tell us that. Or
anybody enlighten us as to the legislative history of this bill?
Bruce, how many votes did you get on the floor of the Senate?
I believe it was about 24 votes on the Senate. I'm not sure the exact number, but it was in that range.
I think that's, if I could, Mr. Chairman, the objection was, as Mr. Crawford and the people from Kaiser said, it was their objection that they had raised in the Senate was eliminated now. That they had.
I mean, with Mr. Crawford and Mr. Bishop objecting, it got 24 votes in the Senate. So that, and if they're not objecting anymore,
I would like
how many,
to
how many will it get?
It will. They got six. I would look at it that way. Three each.
I thought lobbyists were supposed to influence legislation.
Does that change, Mr. Chair, on the House side?
I don't know if it changes Representative Jones' mind, but she's the
Mr. Chair.
Representative asking the question. Representative Traynor?
Mr. Chair, you've got a motion to adopt some amendments.
I have
no problem with that. When we get to the main part of the bill, I do have a concern. I can express that now or later.
Okay, well, why don't we see if we can adopt the amendments. The motion is to adopt the Dash 12 amendments and clarifying that on line 13, the reference is to ORS 179321, not to the other two. Is there any objection to that? Okay, Representative Trahearne.
Mr. Chair, this is really the first that I've seen of this bill as far as any real study to it. And while the concept makes a lot of sense in a one-hour hearing, what have we gone through here, I'm not ready to move on it yet. I'm just in a little uncomfortable because we really haven't had a chance to go through it and take a clear look at it. I would ask that we put this off till Monday and let us take a look at it and hopefully we can all come to agreement.
There's no reason why we couldn't do that. I guess my feeling on that, though, my response would be I don't have any problem doing that. However, we also recognize that this is the Revenue Committee, and our concern primarily is with the revenue impact of the bill, which we have dealt with. If members would like to take some extra time to get more comfortable with the underlying concepts of the bill, I have no problem scheduling it for our next meeting, which I don't know whether it will be Monday or not. Since we have, we're still open for bills that are coming in, and the main bills that we have wanted to deal with have not had action taken on them in the Senate side yet, I would say that it would be scheduled at our next meeting. And then if it turns out that we need to have a special meeting just for this bill, we might do that.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Representative Schoon.
Well, I didn't catch what time floor session was Monday, but
9:30.
Have a meeting just a few minutes before the floor session. Gather here and act on the bill.
Why don't we have a meeting for 9 o'clock on Monday morning, and we'll schedule this bill and tentatively with only, I will put it this way, we'll put it on the list, it'll only stay on the list with, after consultation with the vice chairman, would be Senate Bill 804. Okay?
Mr.
We're adjourned then until 9 o'clock.
Just before you adjourn, let me just make sure. Yeah, this bill is intending to go from this committee to the floor, is that correct?
Yes.
So the comment about revenue, I just think normally we only are dealing with revenue matters,
right,
but this bill isn't going anywhere else in the House, so that's the reason why I think it's appropriate.
Okay.
Anybody want a piece of pizza before, you know?
Well, we'll adjourn, then we'll have pizza.